You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Think about it. Now, come on, let's be honest. Because if God wants you sick, then what are you doing trying to get well? Taking medicine and going to the doctor. And it always amazed me, you have churches on one extreme that believe in healing, they're against doctors and medicine. Well, that's a contradiction. But then on the other side of the coin, you've got the church that doesn't believe in healing, or they believe God does it to make you a better person. Never got that one. Never figured that one out. Jesus never did that, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In fact, he never turned anybody down, did he? He always healed everybody. So you got that one side that somehow God makes you sick for a reason or a purpose, and you never can know if you're healed or not. And they're the ones that believe in doctors and medicine. And they'll help you go to the doctor and help you take medicine, and we won't pray for you to get healed, though. We don't know what God wants. Contradiction. Are you with me? So if you do believe in healing, then you ought to believe in doctors. We're all on the same team here. We're trying to get well. Actually, that's the most consistent thing that you see in the Word of God anyway. You don't see Jesus walking the shores of Galilee and streets of Capernaum and making people sick and taking people's money away from starting storms. You see him healing people, giving to the poor, stopping storms, and raising people from the dead, all our contrary, not killing them, but raising them from the dead. And Jesus is the one that said, the thief comes, steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. There is an enemy out here, and it's not God. And he's not in God's employ, and he's not God's hitman. When Jesus hit the earth, he entered a war zone. And you see that in the Gospels. You see him coming against sin and sickness and disease. Are you with me in death? And things were not right. There was something wrong. And there's still something wrong with the world. And what's wrong with the world is not God. What's wrong with the world is sin, not just yours, the sin of Adam. When Adam sinned in the garden, he brought death into the world, is what the Bible says. And it's been a mess ever since. Are you out there? And until God comes in, the mess is not fixed. Your life was not fixed till Jesus came into your life. And then we're always calling on him to help us fix things that are messed up. Amen. But let's don't be confused here. God's not making you sick and healing you, and he's not making you poor and then blessing you, and he's not putting depression on you and then giving you peace. God can't give what he does not have. God is life. He can't give death. God can't give you depression. He is peace. Are you with me? Those things come as a result of the world that we live in, and many times decisions that we make. The results, we might call it judgment, but judgment is just built into the sin that we commit or built into the world that we live in. Just like you plant a watermelon seed, the DNA in it is going to produce watermelons. If you're going to sin, there's going to be judgment because it's built into the sin. It's not so much God doing something to us. It's just the way the world he created works. Are you with me? It runs good when it runs on him. Doesn't run so good when you put non-ethanol gas, it runs better. If you put junk in your gas tank, it just doesn't run that well. You were made to run on Jesus. You and I were made to run on love and run on forgiveness and run on faith. And when we don't do those things, we don't run so well. Amen? And that's us for the most part. Sometimes things happen and we don't have anything to do with it because we're in a world that's messed up. Are you out there? And a lot of things happen that you had nothing to do with. That's because we're not in heaven yet. But let's don't pull God into it and make God the good guy and the bad guy and the good cop and the bad cop. He's not all. God is good. All the time. He wants no one to go to hell. Do you know that? God is a judge. There is judgment. I got that. But he told us that ahead of time. You put your hand in that fire, you're going to get burnt. And what do? Just like little kids, we always obey our parents. As soon as they turn their head, we put the hand in the fire, don't we? And we get burnt. Well, don't get mad at Papa about that, because Papa told you what would happen. Okay, y'all out here? Okay, just tell your face and get a little louder. I need some help this morning. Praise God. We've been teaching on the human element in the miracles of God, or in answered prayer, as it were. And there is a part to play. I know I'm saved by faith. There's nothing I can do to add to that. I'm saved by faith. But even there, I had to call. Didn't I? And my faith is not the cause of my salvation, but it is a condition. God is the cause. No one could be saved without Jesus. No one could be saved without God. But whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Know what it says? In John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There it is. There's the condition. Believing in him. It's not works, because I don't work and I can't make it happen. And just believing doesn't make things happen. They have to be real before I believe in them. Catch that? You know, often people will say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe. Oh, no, it matters what you believe. Because believing the wrong thing won't make it happen. It has to be there. It has to be real. You're believing God to save you doesn't make God a Savior. He already is a Savior. He already is saving, and he's already told you to call. So you didn't make him save you when you believed. You received what he already is and did, really 2,000 years ago. So when you look at miracles and healing in the Bible, the biblical examples and the biblical strategy, as it were, and steps to take, you'll see that there are people that responded. There are people that came to Jesus, that called on Jesus, that reached out to Jesus, that took roofs off, that came in behind crowds and grabbed his garment. Are you with me? That cried out from ditches when everybody said, be quiet, and they just cried out all the louder. You see passion. You see focus. You see people that will not be denied. You see people that will not let go till he blesses them, as it were. And that's what faith is. Faith is a focus. Faith is a determination. It is a mindset, and it's zeroing in and centering in on something and not turning to the left and not turning to the right and not listening to all the voices in the world, but listen to this one voice, the voice of God. And looking at God and stand on his word. And it takes determination, and it takes focus to make that happen. That's faith. And that's what you find. Jesus didn't go into towns or go into leper colonies and go into hospitals and seek people out. He actually went into towns, and people came to him. Lepers came to him. Are you with me? Like I said, people took roofs off. Mark the second chapter. Years ago, I began to read, and I shared this before, but I began to read the book of Mark. It's the shortest of the Gospels, only 16 chapters. And I just took it on myself to just read it every day. Now, I'm a minister. This is what I do. So I'm not bragging, and I don't want to sound that way, but I'm leading up to why this came out of it and how I got a hold of this. I began to read the book of Mark every day for 30 days, 30 times in 30 days. It took about 45 minutes, I think. And I did that several times. I didn't do it just one time. I've done that with many books. Revelation, different books I've just read over and over and over, and just it gets in you when you do that. You begin to see patterns. You begin to see things that are repeated over and over and over. And my goodness, you watch TV every day, don't you? Anybody watch 45 minutes of TV every day? No show of hands. I know we do. There's a lot of us out there. Why not just take a project and say, hey, you know, I'm going to take a book and I'm just going to read it, and maybe you don't have to be a, you could take a short book, Ephesians 6 chapter, Galatians 6 chapters. You know, you could take a small book. Just read it every day for 30 days, just a challenge. You'd be amazed at what starts jumping at you and leaping at you out of the pages. One thing I began to see as I read this over and over and over is the human element. In other words, you didn't see Jesus just walking up to people and healing them. You see people running to Jesus and falling at his feet and crying out to Jesus. Even the demoniac, the demon-possessed man that came to Jesus from the Gadarenes, when he landed on the shore, Jesus and his disciples, the demoniac man ran to him and fell down and worshiped him. That's interesting, isn't it? And then, of course, the demon began to speak out. And, of course, there were moments in that man's life where he had a little sanity. He'd speak up and the demons would take over. But that moment of sanity, he ran to Jesus. And he fell at his feet. And, then, of course, you know the story, got delivered. But Jesus didn't go seek that man out. That man let down through the roof that had four good friends. These are the kind of friends you and I need, amen? Friends that'll take us to Jesus. Friends that will not be denied. Friends that'll pray and believe God and stand on the word and encourage you and get you to God and help you get straight and get right and get healed, whatever the case is. They went to him and they took the roof off and let him down right there in front of Jesus. Now Jesus says, Jesus seeing their faith. That's Mark's second chapter. It says, Jesus seeing their faith. Well, what he saw was their determination. See, faith is not just a passive thing. Faith is an active thing. Christianity is a fighting faith. We're fighting for the souls of our family and our children and our nation. Are you with me? We're fighting. We're in a battle. We're armed soldiers in an army. We have an enemy, the devil. That's what the scripture says. Amen. And we're in the army of the Lord. And so, yes, it's an active faith. It's not a spectator sport. It's a participation sport. We participate in this thing. We act. We move. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So you see in that he saw their faith. He saw their action. He saw their determination and their focus. He saw their passion. That's what we saw with the woman with the issue of blood. We went over that last week in the fifth chapter. And just going through individual cases, the woman with the issue of blood, she heard of Jesus. Everybody say heard.
Heard.
That's the first step, because faith comes by hearing, doesn't it? And hearing by the word. And I think it's interesting that evidently she heard Jesus was healing.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, because that's what she came to get, right? So she heard of a Jesus that was healing. That's a good question. Is the Jesus you know or hear about or hear preached about, do you hear people talking about him healing? Well, that's what he did in the Bible. He's not a different Jesus. We don't serve a different Jesus. Amen. In fact, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. We don't serve another Jesus. He hadn't changed. He's still the same. But she heard of him, and she must have heard that he healed, because she said, this is what she said in her heart. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. So she confessed what she heard of Jesus and made it personal. I like that. That's what you got to do and I got to do, amen? We hear what Jesus says and what Jesus does. We walk with him on the shores of Galilee, the streets of Capernaum, watch him raise dead and cast out devils and stop storms. But we don't always make that personal connection, you know? We've got to make it personal. The Lord is not a healer, he's my healer. He's not a savior, he's my savior. Even David had more sense than that. He didn't say the Lord is a shepherd, he said the Lord is my shepherd. And then he said, I shall not want. Are you with me? He makes me lay down in green pasture, leads me by the still waters. I mean, you go through that psalm, and it's I, me, my, oh, my. But until you make it personal, you don't make a connection. Isn't that correct? He can't be out there somewhere. He can't be in the abstract. He can't be a God. He has to be your God, a Father. No, he's my Father. Hallelujah. And that's what he wants. That's what he wants you to do. This woman said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Now, she had been to many physicians, it said, had spent all that she had, was none better, but rather grew worse. But when she heard of Jesus, woo, that changes everything, doesn't it? When you hear of Jesus, and when you get to Jesus, you never leave the same. So she came in and pressed behind. We went over this last week, but I'm just catching up because we didn't finish the story of Jairus, who started out with Jesus. The ruler of the synagogue came to Jesus, fell at his feet, besought him greatly, and said, my daughter lieth at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her, she shall live. And he said, I will, let's go. And on his way, this woman came in the press, which speaks volumes to us. He's never too busy for you.
That's right.
Oh, I wouldn't want to bother God. You know, he's got a lot on his plate. We are talking about God here, aren't we? Okay, I believe God can heal everybody in the whole world. They all called at one time. I believe God could save every single person. In fact, he already has. But if everybody called in one moment, one second, the same second, God can handle it. Amen? I believe he's got to handle it. So don't play that game. Well, there's people worse off than I am. Yeah, and there's people better off than you are. That doesn't mean anything. The question is not whether someone's worse off or not worse off. The question is not, you know, all these other things, maybe there's some reason or purpose for this. The question is this, does God say he will do this? Did God promise us this? Did God say call? Did he say he loved us? Did he say he'd heal us? Did he say he was my healer? Did he say by the stripes of Jesus you were healed? Well, the answer to that is, of course, yes. Yes, he did. That's the question. It's not the question of whether you hurt or whether you need or whether you want. You know, of course I want, of course I need, of course I hurt. But the question is, does God promise it? Does God say that? And if he does, then we need to pursue it, because he already said it.
Amen.
I'm never trying to con God in to get me to answer a prayer. I'm finding out what he already said he would do, and I'm submitting myself to it, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, here I am. I come to you, and I believe what you say. Woo. Good stuff, amen?
Yes.
I ain't even got to the message yet, okay? We're just still treading water. But anyway, this Jairus came to Jesus, and he said, his daughter lieth at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her, she'll be healed. And Jesus just didn't hesitate. He just went. On his way, this woman came and got healed. And of course, you know the story. He turned after she touched him. She came through the press, grabbed his garment, and it says, virtue or power came out of him, and she felt in her body that she was healed of this plague. Mark 5th chapter is where all that took place. And she felt in her body that she was healed after she believed, not before. You know, when you say, I believe when I feel it, well, that's not believing. Believing is before you feel. Amen. Believing is before you see. You know, that's like, you don't believe I'm here. You know I'm here. You're looking at me. But if I told you I was coming, you would believe I'm coming until I got here. And once I got here, you don't. There's no faith involved. Okay? But faith is before the fact, not after the fact. Well, I believe when I see it. No, you won't, because when you see it, you don't need to believe it. You're looking at it. Y'all get it? Okay. All these religious sayings we come up with. So she felt after she believed. Jesus turned and said, who touched me? And of course, the disciples said, the multitude throngs you. What do you mean, who touched you? Yeah, but somebody touched him in faith. That's different. She actually believed, and that drew power out of him. Amen. And the woman feared and trembled and fell down before him and told him everything that had taken place. And Jesus said, woman, thy faith hath made you whole. Go in peace. And really what you see there is just her determination to get to Jesus. She believed he was reachable, he was touchable, that he cared enough about her, that he would heal her. He'd heard he healed. And she believed that she wasn't different than anyone else, that God didn't have play favorites, that if he healed one person, he healed another. If he'd save one person, he'd save another. If he loved one person, he loved us all. It's just a matter of us getting to him. And that's what she did. Right. Now, when that took place, got you caught up now? That's the fifth chapter. Notice after she's healed in the 34th verse, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. While he yet spake, now he's got Jairus with him. Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, who came to him. Everybody say, came to him. And this woman came to him. Y'all see that? And she pressed through the crowd. I often say this, you have to press through a lot of crowd of thoughts when you're believing God and trusting God. Thoughts of doubt, thoughts of unbelief. But you got to press through the crowd and reach through there and grab his garment, amen, and be focused in on him. Well, she got her healing. Well, now he's with the ruler of the synagogue. They're still on their way to his house. And it says here, 35th verse, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further? Wow. That's a tough one. I mean, that's here he is. He's wanting him to heal her. And now she's died. And it's interesting what Jesus said. As soon as, 36 verse, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Wow. In other words, he immediately responded with the word. One translation says, hearing and over and ignoring what was said. In other words, he didn't listen to the bad report. He was the good report. Jesus is the good report. And often we'll hear a bad report in many cases. You ever notice that most bad reports of things that happen are exaggerated? You ever notice that? Most every time they are exaggerated. And then when you find out more details, it's not near as bad as it was, or they said it was, and so on and so forth. Now, we just know that in the natural. That just, the first report usually is exaggerated, generally. And how many times we hear things that they're not substantiated. We don't know who said it. We just hearsay, heard somebody said, somebody said, somebody said, somebody said, that they heard somebody say. Are you with me? And then we just automatically jump on it. Or we'll hear news reports on the television. You know, you don't know those people on the television. Do you think those people on the television, do you think they have no biases, they have no prejudices, and they have no opinions? Do you think that they give you pure, unadulterated news on any channel? I don't care what channel it is. They're human. They're like you and they're like me. They have agendas. They decide what's reported. Think about this, and I'm not getting on the fake news political side. I'm just talking about news in general. It was G.K. Chesterton that said we don't need censorship of the press. We already have censorship by the press as it is. Of all the things that are happening in the world today, that in one 30-minute segment, they're going to tell you everything that happened in the world today? They can only pick out 30 minutes worth of stuff to put on there. And whoever picks out what is reported is showing you what they want you to hear. Yeah. And there's a lot of things. Listen, tomorrow when you listen to the news, next time you turn the news on, I watch the weather and I watch the news. And, you know, so I'm not against, you know, watching the news. But notice how many reports we have of people that got saved this Sunday morning on the news tomorrow. And come back and call me up and tell me how many they counted up got saved. Oh, you don't hear those, do you? Or how many people got healed? Or how many marriages came back together? Or how many people rededicated their life to the Lord? Wow. How many crusades were successful over the weekend in countries around the world? No, but you let a train wreck happen, we're going to hear about it, aren't we? Or a terrorist attack. You know, or one person gets killed in Paris by terrorists that says, you know, Allahu Akbar, you know, which, you know, I'm definitely against terrorism and I'm against that kind of thinking. Are you with me? But it's amazing to me, one person gets killed in Paris. One person gets killed in Paris. Bad news, bad deal, hate it. But do you know how many people died in other ways all around the world? Tragedies that took place that weren't connected to terrorism that don't get reported. I'm not saying don't report terrorism, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying by virtue of the time slot they have, they can't report everything. And we've got to be objective when we hear that, don't we? Now, it's the same thing with your mind and the world that you live in. Here you are, God says something, and he says he'll do something, and you love him, and you're a Christian, you're a believer, and you know what the Word of God says, and man, here comes the other reports. Are you out there? You got to make a decision. Whose report are you going to believe? God bless doctors. I am for doctors. My goodness. But I've heard some bad reports for some doctors. Are you with me? Doing their job with all their heart and trying to help people. And it's the realm they work in. And you have to understand that and be very, very grateful for doctors and civil and decent. I remember when Chris got the report from Cassidy, Chris and Sissy. We were all there in the waiting room when Cassidy was born. And she had actually been without oxygen for, I don't know, they don't know, 5-10 minutes. And the doctor comes out, talks to Chris, and real nice, doing all they could. They had some issues there, and they said, she's probably not going to be normal. Her brain's not going to be normal. We don't know if the brain's going to function. We're going to have to put her in NICU, you know, and I just want you to know, you know, that we hate the situation, but you need to be prepared. And Chris said, he looked at the doctor and he said, thank you for all you're doing. I'm praying for you and appreciate all you're doing. But we're believing for a miracle. And he was really, really kind to the doctor. See, we don't have to be mean to people because they don't believe like you believe. You don't have to be mean to people. They're doing the best they can. They're operating in a realm, in the natural, doing the best they can. So when you get a bad report from a doctor, don't blow up on, oh, come on, man. You ought to praise them for what they're doing and thank them for all the help they're giving you. And Chris, of course, he's raised right. His mama did a good job. You know, he said, he told me, thank you, doctor. Thank you for all you're doing. But we're believing for a miracle, and we're going to believe she's going to be all right. We, you know, believe in healing. And of course, he came out to the waiting room where we're all out there. We invade hospitals when babies are born. You know, I have 5 children, and now we have 19 grandchildren. And everybody in town shows up when a baby's born. So Chris came out, told us what the deal was. We all prayed. Are you with me? They put her in a NICU, you know, and she was in there for several weeks. I don't know how long she was in there for. And they just couldn't figure it out. They didn't know what was wrong because there wasn't anything wrong. And she didn't have any. She didn't have anything wrong with her brain. She didn't have, in fact, if you know Cassie, there's nothing wrong with her brain. And there's nothing wrong with her talking. You know, there may be a problem with her just not knowing how to stop talking. But she's more than normal. She's just above the average, super intelligent, blessed. But it was because Chris and Sissy chose, and we chose to agree with them, to believe God. Yes. You know, I'm thinking of Henry and Wanda. And Whitney, we were there in the hospital when Whitney was born. How many years ago? 31 years ago. 31 years ago, the doctors came out and said, no, we got some problems here with Her hands are never going to open up. Every day it was something. This is not going to happen. That's not going to happen. And every day the doctors were just amazed. A miracle would take place. Man, I remember Henry says, well, we're believing God for a miracle. Henry was so strong. He was just so strong. Well, we're praying and we're believing God. And I mean, her hand opens up. Everything they said couldn't happen, happened. And she graduated with high school with honors, or I mean, just amazing. And just doing wonderful. You know, thank God for doctors and thank God for hospitals and thank God for all that men and women are trying to do. Be respectful. Are you with me? See, people, I always say this about the church. People know what we're against. Do they know what we're for? You know, really, we're for people. Come on. I mean, if I disagree with someone, it doesn't mean I hate them. I don't. When I talk about sin, we talk about, you know, homosexuality is a big deal today. I believe it's a sin. I believe it's wrong. But I don't hate homosexuals. I'm not going to go blow them up and burn their houses down and mistreat them. Are you with me? I'm believing they repent and get right with God and come to Jesus. In fact, if they do, come on, come over here to International Outreach Church. If you want to get saved, if you want to get right, if you want to repent of your sin, if you've been in adultery, I believe adultery is sin. I do. It's wrong. It's bad for you. There's a whole trail of messed up lives and kids that are, you know, that are involved in all these divorces and remarriages and divorce, you know, and adultery. It's terrible. But you know what? If you want to come to Jesus, you can't change the past and you can't unscramble eggs. If you repent and get right with God, it doesn't matter what your past is. Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Come on, we'll take you if you want to serve God. We don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. Are you out there? I think it's Martin Luther King says, I will not let any man lower me to the point that I hate him. I'm not going to hate people. I hate sin. I hate what it does to people. I hate what it does to families, what it's done to our country. But I don't hate people. And we, the church of all people, ought to love people. You understand how I'm saying that? If they'll repent, if they'll come to Jesus. Now, you're not going to be comfortable if you're going to live in your sin, not in this church, because we're going to talk about sin here. Are you with me? We're going to talk about living holy. We're going to talk about living right and how God wants you to, because we've got kids coming on that need to see you live for God. You know, maybe you've been married 3 or 4 times, but if you're going to get married again, let's make this one stick, okay? Let's make this work. Maybe you can't undo the past, but let's make this work. Brent and I'll be married 44 years this year. Hallelujah. I got it right. Hallelujah. But, you know, I've thought often, you know, over the years about many of the reasons why I stick with Brenda. I fear God and I fear Brenda. But I want my children to see us serve God together. I want our children to see how marriage is supposed to work. I want my grandchildren now to see what it means to serve God and love Jesus and stand up for God, live holy and live right. Most of what I don't do in life, I could probably do and be okay and still be saved. But you know what? I just don't want to. I don't want to give that witness to my children or to my grandchildren. I want my grandchildren to serve God. I don't want to bring a shame on the church. Are you with me? You know, so it's not just about you. Are you out there? How I got off on all that. Be kind, I guess what I'm saying, even when you're believing God for healing. You're believing God for a miracle, or you're believing God for a marriage, or you believe whatever it is you're believing God for. Be kind. We're not trying to be rude with people that don't believe like we do, okay? And that's not what it's about. Pray that God will give them light, that God will reveal it to them. It's not about arguing and winning an argument. It's not about that. It's just about believing God and standing on his word, amen, and letting God move in our lives. Cassie is a testimony to the power of God. Amen. Adeline, same way. There were some major issues with Adeline when she was born, Ryan and Manus' little girl, and they believe God. The older I get, the worse it is. I'm telling you what, I'm just a blubber baby. But I remember us crying that day, you know, when they got the report on Adeline. And, you know, we just chose to believe God. The idea that we believe in healing, that means we'll never have an attack, I've never said that. Don't believe that. You know, well, if you just believe God and trust God, you'll never have an opportunity, never have a battle. No, trouble will come. Are you kidding me? It comes to all. But we have something, someone to believe and trust and stand, the word of God to stand on. I know we're not in heaven, so we're in a battle. I think of Travis back there. He is a walking miracle. Kidney transplant, pancreas transplant. And how many times I was called along with the family to go to the hospital because he was going to die. I don't know how many times. The doctors called everybody in. He's not going to make it. And we all get down there and pray. And here's Travis, hallelujah, alive and well. Praise the Lord. Amen. And there was a battle. We had lots of battles with Travis, you know, believing with him, trusting with him. Man, I'm telling you what, there were some major things going on there. Death type things. You know, I've shared about Dodie Osteen. John Osteen, of course, was our pastor, John and Dodie. Dodie, in 1981, we were still going to Lakewood in 1981. We left in 82 and started the church here on August the 1st, 1982. But 1981, she was diagnosed with metastatic cancer of the liver and given just a few weeks to live. The doctor even told Brother Osteen, says, Brother Osteen, you need to take her home. There's nothing else we can do. She's got about 3 weeks to live. She got down to 89 pounds. And Brother Osteen said, well, you know, he said, we believe in miracles, is what he told the doctor. And the doctor said, well, Brother Osteen, you're going to need one. And Brother Osteen says, well, doctor, we're going to get one. And she began to quote the Word of God every day. 25 scriptures, I think she had, or 25, 27 scriptures. She quoted every single day on healing. That was 1981. Dodie is still alive.
Yeah. Amen.
She didn't die in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, or 2 years or 3 years, or 20 years or 30 years. Are you with me? She's still alive, still preaching, and still laying hands on the sick to be healed. But it took some determination. See, it took some focus and some faith and people calling you crazy. Oh, my goodness. People are going to call you crazy. Listen, they called me crazy before I got saved. Okay? They're going to call you crazy no matter what you believe. So why don't you just believe the truth and be done with it? Amen? Just stand on the word and be done with it. I'm tired of trying to just please everybody. I can't please everybody. I don't hate anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. But if you stand for anything, that means you're against something. And if you stand for anything, there's going to be people that don't like you. So do your best to love people, but stand for something. If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything. So these people made stands. I think about this ruler, Jairus. Remember him? That's what we started out talking about. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a Jew. He took a stand to go to Jesus. I mean, Jesus wasn't that well liked among the rulers of the synagogue. And when they came and told him, you know, don't trouble the master any longer, your daughter's dead, it says as soon as Jesus heard these words, we need to be quick to respond to doubt and unbelief, quick to respond to negative reports, quickly, because the more you entertain it, the more it takes root in you. You need to stop saying, wait a minute, what does God say? God said, I'm praying this, I'm believing this, I'm going to call the church right now, I need some help, I need somebody to pray with me. You know, get somebody to pray with you and get around people of like faith. And let's get in faith. Let's believe God. Let's trust God. Amen. And that's what Jesus told him. He said, fear not, only believe. And that's evidently what the man did. And when they went on and got to the house, let's read on here, 36 verse. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. That's all God's asking you to do. That's all he's asking you to do. It's not complicated. You don't have to click your heels three times and wish you were in Kansas. You just have to believe. Just trust God. New concept. Amen. God loves you. He does. He cares about you. And it doesn't always happen immediately. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, but if you just keep believing God. Keep believing God. He'll come through. It says he suffered no man followed him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeing the tumult, King James Version here I'm reading, and them that wept and wailed greatly. When he was come in, he said unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. Wow, that was the wrong thing to say for that crowd. But it was the right thing for Jesus to say it. And they laughed him to scorn. They laughed at Jesus. Okay? So don't feel like you're singled out here. They laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he takes the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and enters where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which means, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Wow. Amen. Man, tremendous miracle. And there you have that woman with the issue of blood. And then you have Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. But don't take out the determination of this daddy. Don't remove from this how determined and focused that woman was to get through that crowd and grab his garment, to not just meet him on the road, but to come up behind him through a crowd and grab his garment. Don't discount what she said. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made. Her confession of faith. Don't discount the human element. Jesus is the one who healed, and Jesus gets the glory. But somebody had to be determined enough to reach out. Are you with me? And she did, and he did, and they got it. Henry and Wanda were determined to believe God. I remember those days. I remember how determined. Henry was just like a word bird. I mean, he just wouldn't say anything but the word. He just would. The scripture says, I'm believing God. We're believing God. I remember that. You know, and of course, we were believing, and the church believed. And it wasn't just instant either. Wasn't instant with Cassie. Wasn't instant with Addie. But over time, God came through. Completely. Hallelujah. So we got the scripture. Amen. And we've got the principle of healing, which, goodness gracious, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, Mark 16 chapter. James 5, 16 says, confess your faults one to another, pray you one to another that you may be healed. 1 Peter 2, 24 says, who his own self died for our sins on the cross, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Amen. We got the principle, but then we have the examples here. So we got a precept and example. We have many, many examples of this taking place, of people believing and trusting God and getting healed. And the story is still being told today. We have testimony. I just gave you three testimonies right here in this church. Yeah. And if I were to ask, and we had the time, practically every one of you could stand up and talk about a miracle that happened in your life, or a healing that took place in your life, or something that happened. No way it could happen. If God hadn't have done it, it wouldn't have got done. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Testimonies are important, amen? Your testimony is important. People need to hear the gospel coming out of your lips. Sometimes you're the only gospel they'll ever hear, the only message they ever hear till they get saved. So thank God he's in the healing business, amen? And that's just one aspect. I mean, we're just teaching on that the last few weeks. He's in the peace-giving business. He's in the saving business. He's in the forgiving business. I mean, he's an all-purpose Savior. Amen. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. So I don't know what your need is. I don't know what you're going through. Everybody goes through different things. But I know God loves you and he's for you. He's not against you. And he's just waiting on you to call. That's all he's doing. Just waiting on you to come. If you come to him, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's what he said. You and I got to learn to trust God. That's I'm learning that the more I serve him, the more I get in his word, and the more I pastor and you know, the more I live, period, I've just got to learn to trust God, to really put it in his hands and not pull it back, and really talk like I believe it. You cannot talk failure and live in victory. You cannot. You cannot talk sin and live holy. Can't do it. But I tell you what, you cannot talk victory and live in failure. Are you out there? So talk the word. That's what we're saying. Talk about the Lord and talk much about him. Hallelujah. Talk about his promises and talk much about his promises. And talk about those testimonies. Man, when David was facing Goliath, you know what he talked about? Man, there was this lion came up. He started talking about his victories, didn't he? This lion came up and he took a lamb and I grabbed that lamb, took it out of his mouth and I killed that lion. And then a bear came up and he took another lamb and I grabbed him by the beard and I slew him and killed him. And the same God that delivered me out of the paw of the bear and the mouth of the lion, this God will deliver me out of the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. David was going over his victories, wasn't he? You've had a lot of them. Just keep going over them. Go over his word and then go over your victories. And watch it happen again. Hallelujah. Stand up, give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Praise the Lord. Did that help you?